God's really been doing a lot of exciting things. The Kids Watch is happening down in the children's ministry, and I cannot stress the importance of each of us, even if we don't have children, to really pray about just doing this like once a month or once every 6 months. And all you have to do is stand in front of a door and be happy and basically let no kids out. And so it's kind of like, I just feel in my heart that we really need to protect our children and be a blessing to the new people coming in and also to protect the kids. And so there are like 9 different positions and different places, and you'll be given a walkie-talkie, and it's kind of like just the first place of defense to keep anything from coming in that shouldn't. Now, if you stop people from coming in, we're going to have problems. But and it's also keeping kids from going out because they're pretty sneaky sometimes. And so if you are interested in that, you can sign up tonight. It'd be a great opportunity. It can be a guy or a gal. Doesn't make a difference, just as long as you love the Lord, love kids, and want to help. Also, the men's retreat is coming up, and that's going to be an exciting thing. That's going to be September 23rd, 24th, and 25th. I'll be there, along with Dr. Ross Rowe. So it should be a great opportunity. So guys, you need to sign up. Not be just like the women here. Quick, fast, and to the point. And make sure you don't use your ties. What can I say? You know, this is over and above. This is an offering. So you buy stereos and tires and helmets, you can pay for a retreat with no problem. And if you can't, then wives, budget their money in Jesus' name. You know, what can I say? The men's conference is going to be taking place on September the 10th, and that's going to be just a great opportunity. Raul Reese will be here, Dave Rosales, Don McClure, Pancho, and myself. And keep Poncho's wife in prayer, Millie. She's going through some difficult times. So they're looking at what the situation might be. She had some problems with her face drooping. And as you know, she had some problems with cancer before. So we're praying that God just gives her strength. And then the summer camp for the junior high and high school. I'll be teaching this Wednesday in the morning and at night. And that will be taking place August the 7th and through the 10th. And then August the 10th through the 13th. And I want to encourage you, those of you that don't have children and you want to help, these kids can be sponsored and it can change their life in a wonderful way. And so those are some of the things. The Bible College is going to start on September the 12th. Is George here anywhere? I hope he's here. Oh, George, would you turn around and look at George? We just hired George. This is Dr. George. We say we have a PhD, a post-hole digger. He has a real PhD, and he has really, God has blessed, and he left the education world and came here to hook us up with Azusa and other places, and so we really are exciting, and of course, Clint has gone to Compton to start a Calvary Chapel, so things are moving, it's exciting. But tonight, we want to look at Hebrews chapter 11. So turn with me tonight as we take a look at Hebrews chapter 11. And we want to take a look at verses 24 through 39. I don't know how far we're going to get because of communion tonight. But it's exciting, this book. There's been a lot of exciting things. When you come to a life of worship, we took a look at Abel. When you take a look at the life of walking with the Lord, we looked at Enoch. When we look at the way we are to work, we took a look at Noah. And then when we took a look at just what it is to live by faith, we look at Abraham. And so we now come to Moses, one of the incredible men of the Bible. And if I was to say to you, who do you enjoy the most when it comes to Bible characters? And some of you would say, well, Joshua, he was able to stop the sun. Or maybe you would say, well, you know, I kind of like Caleb because at 85 he was able to conquer that mountain. Or maybe you're a lot like I am, Isaiah, because he was able to see the glory of God. But if I was to say to you tonight, who do you most identify with? Which one? Would you say David because of lust? Or would it be like Jonah because you love to run away from God? Or would it be like Peter because you just happen to be really, really stubborn? Or would it be like John because you have a little anger problem, want to call down fire from heaven and consume everybody? And so it's great to have Bible characters, but who would you say that you're the closest to? Well, no doubt Moses is wonderful in his life, his life and everything else. He was the meekest man. Of course, he wrote that. But in Hebrews 11:23, it's like kind of like John the Beloved. He was the Beloved. Well, Jesus never called him Beloved, but John did. So, you know, it does say that Daniel was Beloved, but John was so encouraged in who he was definitely Beloved. But in Hebrews 11:23, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, underlined that, when he was come to years, 40, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer the affliction or with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. And boy, the key phrase is for a season. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest he be destroyed of the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians chasing them drowned. Well, Father, we ask tonight that you would give us ears to hear what you would teach us. And God, once again, we ask for a real insight when it comes to a life of faith. And so give us your wisdom in Jesus' name. Amen. When you come to the life of Moses, I think one of the great things about his life is that it was about character. And character is based upon the decisions you make in life. Life is based upon character, and character is based upon decisions you make. So when you speak of Moses, you speak about the decision he made. And it was the most difficult decision, and I'm afraid very few of us could make the decision he made. It was a decision to walk away from wealth. It was a decision that no longer would material things dominate his life. He was now willing to do what God wanted him to do. And God was in the process of making his life. But it started with a simple, deep conviction, no doubt that his mother placed within his own heart, that he couldn't just reconcile what was taking place with the Jewish people. There was something that bothered him. And in this decision, he crossed over. And I think that's the key for me in my own personal life. He crossed over. In other words, the decision was a decision that he could never go back. It was a decision that he would now join the children of Israel. He would take the very worst that God had to offer, and he would walk away from the very best that Egypt had to give him. And it was a conscious decision. It was something that he pondered. He thought about. He reconciled in his own life. But if you had to take one word that was absolutely the key, it would be a faith that makes a decision. The ability to say no. The ability to say no and refuse that which is evil and that which is not pleasing to God. And to cross over to God and to stay there no matter how painful it becomes. And it is painful serving God. And it will cost you your life. And sometimes it doesn't even seem fair. You look around, even as Psalms 73, where the psalmist says, I look around and I see good people suffering and evil people prospering. But then when he came into the house of God, he saw the very end of their lives, that they were heading towards hell. And he realized, God, you placed my feet upon the solid ground. And he starts off Psalm 73 saying, God is good. And that is exactly what happened in Moses' life. He understood that Israel were to be the people of God. No matter how much they were murmuring, how much they were complaining, he had enough sense that the power would only last for a season, But eternity was more important. So as we look tonight, I want you to think about all the decisions in your life. A decision about evil, a decision about righteousness, and the choice that you have to make in the onslaught of the enemy to do what's right. And if you do what God has laid before you, then God will open the doors and He'll begin to make you the man and woman, and He'll bring you into that wilderness. He'll strip you from yourself, and He'll add to you the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and God will lead you, and you could be the very next person to lead this country back to God. It's never impossible. And so I think the three things that stand out to me in his life, very simply, is he chose the imperishable. I think if I had to sum up his life, he chose the imperishable. Secondly, he trusted in the invisible. He trusted in the invisible. And thirdly, he did the impossible. So the first thing that he took and hold of eternal life, he knew that Egypt was going to perish, and so he grabbed a hold of that which was imperishable, Jesus Christ. And secondly, he trusted in the invisible. He was able to see God, and I believe it has a reference to the burning bush, because it was there that God called him. And you remember, he saw the bush and he turned, and when he turned, God spoke. And I think a lot of times God speaks, but we don't turn. And it was there that he saw the power of God and the glory of God, and it was there that he received the call of God upon his life, and he was ready. He spent 40 years in Egypt, 40 years in the wilderness, and then 40 years leading Israel through the wilderness. And you have to talk about leadership to take over 1 million people who murmur constantly through the wilderness for 40 years and be able to maintain your insanity. This man was able to speak to God face to face. And he even said to God, "I'm not moving till you show me your glory." And so God hid him, and God showed him the aftermath. But he had a conviction. He said, "Take my name out of the book of life if you don't forgive these people." And one conversation I love so much, God said, "I don't want these people." Moses says, "Well, I don't want them. They're yours. You made them." God says, "I don't want them. I'm tired of them." Moses said, "But you're their redeemer." "Okay, I'll take them." And so Moses interceded. Now, you think, well, great for Moses. Well, God put the desire in Moses' heart to risk his neck. It was a man that took a chance. So let's take a look at this tonight, get as far as we can. We took a look last week at faith takes action in verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was proper a child. In other words, there was a uniqueness, I believe. There no doubt was a revelation that he had something special. And they were not afraid of the king's commandment. And we talked about this, Jochebed, how she was willing to hold on to the child for 3 months. But at the very end of 3 months, their faith ran out, and they were willing to place the child inside the river. And I left you last week with the importance of stepping out in faith. It's one thing to say we trust God. It's another thing to build a little ark and make sure it's really secure. It's a whole nother world when you place that little ark inside of the river. And then I mentioned to you again about the importance of a calculated faith. In other words, they took their time building that little ark. And they put the slime, the tar on it to make sure it wouldn't sink. And then they placed that little ark in the perfect place so it wouldn't have to travel too far down. And then it was Miriam, remember, his sister, that said to the Pharaoh's daughter, "Hey, would you like me to find somebody?" So there was a calculated risk. In other words, they took their time. It wasn't just a blind faith. And so it was their parents' faith, and because of them, God did a work. Kind of interesting, in the next verse, it said when the time came, in other words, in verse 24, by faith Moses, when he was come to the years, in other words, it was 40 years old. And the thing that God ministered to my heart, it wasn't when he was 18 that he turned his life over to Christ. He was 40 years old. A lot of years have passed by. Mom and Dad, no doubt, was concerned. And some of you are concerned and you're waiting for your children, but it was 40 years old when God got a hold of his heart. So maybe you've been waiting for a few years. It might be a lot longer. God has a plan. God's going to work, but God's going to get a hold of those kids. He gave you a promise. You need to hang on to that promise and not lose hope. And so faith always takes action in verse 23. But tonight, secondly, faith makes decisions. I want to say that with as much authority as I can. Faith makes decisions. And verse 24, by refusing a position. And then in verse 25, by refusing pleasure. And then in verse 26, by refusing power. Three things that Moses did. And the decision he made, number one, he refused a position. And so he says in verse 24, by faith, when he was come to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. In other words, he made a drastic decision in his life to cut off the inheritance, to pull himself out of the court of the famous, no longer to have any ties to the family, to completely rid himself of any authority in his life. He was a powerful man. He was an educated man. When God got done with him, you remember, he said, I can't speak. But Stephen said he was eloquent in his speech. In Acts chapter 7, he was eloquent. In other words, he was schooled in science and philosophy, and he was an educated man. He was a powerful man. He was a brilliant man because God was with him. And he was shined and had tremendous authority, but something was nagging in his heart. And the position wasn't important any longer. It was the presence of God which was more important. And sometimes God does go after that position. I think of David, a great little story. We see Absalom coming after David, and David going out the back door. And all of a sudden, Joab says, why don't we stay and fight? And David, in a sense, in a very powerful way, said, I'd rather be in the presence of God than try to fight for the power. Because David knew that if he was in the presence of God, God would always give him back the power. But if he went after the power, he might miss the presence of God. You see, the presence of God is more important than the power. And God will never give you the power without a person. And that's why he says it's the Holy Spirit. Now, we want the power without a relationship. We want the power, the anointing, without a commitment to the person. But the Holy Spirit is a person. You can grieve Him. You can quench Him. And so when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, He'll speak through you. He will has His own wills severally as He wills. In other words, He knows what He wants you to do. And He has a calling upon your life. And as you ask Him into your heart, God begins to do a work. So the position is a very dangerous thing if you're going after it. It'd be better to go after the presence of God. Now, God will give you a position. And God will raise you up in that position. It's interesting, my son the other day told me that he was asked to go up to upper management, to a board meeting with the president of his company. And I said, did you say anything? He said, no. I said, you're a smart man. And so we got done talking and talking, and I said, Nathan, can I just suggest one thing? Sure, Dad. I said, don't tell anybody what you heard. Well, thanks, Dad. Do you know that's important? Son, I said, sometimes in that position, they try you. And if you're going to stand, be quiet. Ponder. And God will make you shine. I think Daniel did that. But sometimes we go after the position and it gets to us. It changes our personality. And so it says here very powerfully in verse 24, again, the words of faith, his heart was persuaded and he knew and he refused to be the son. He said no to luxury. In other words, he walked away from the fame. He wasn't no longer concerned about the material things, and that is such a snare to us today. We are so distracted by material things. We are so overwhelmed at having things that sometimes if God said to leave, we couldn't do it. And Corrie Ten Boom said, it's important to have a light touch because sometimes God will pry them out of your hand and it won't hurt so bad. Learn to let things go. The second thing I find in verse 25, he refused pleasure. It says here in verse 25, choosing rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God than to enjoy pleasure for a season. So the word means he chose, he decided, he pondered, he thought about it. He understood that he had to do something. And so this is what he did. It's kind of a calculating word. It means to set a scale up and put everything the world has to offer, the Hummers and the 7,000 square foot homes and, you know, the 10 digit figures and on and on and on. I was told recently that one of the CEOs received a $40 million bonus this year. I'm thinking, my goodness, what do you do with it? Well, he said his wife already spent half of it, I didn't say that. He said that, and so I thought he might get in trouble. But I imagine she wouldn't get too mad if she got $20 million. But what's he going to do? So Moses put all that there, and then he took the worst, the pain, the agony, the suffering, the cross, put it here. And when he leveled it out, the scales went way up. In other words, he knew in his mind that it was for a season. And I want you to put in your Bible, underline, for a season. Now here's what I want to share. Sin is exciting. And sin is thrilling. You wouldn't go to bed with a non-believer. You wouldn't commit fornication. You wouldn't go out and go to all the things you do. You wouldn't smoke the dope if it wasn't somewhat fun. But the problem is, it's only for a season. And when that season's done, midnight comes, and God brings judgment, and you're on the wrong side of the fence. And so the question is do I live my life for the glory of God these 60, 65, 70 years, sacrifice and not really sweat these material things, knowing that I'll have Christ and eternity for the rest of my life? Or do I play and live for pleasure and then live in hell for eternity? It's a major decision of your life. He looked at pleasure. He looked at luxury. He looked at things. And he wrote over everything, it's just a season. It comes and goes. He knew that there was a new Pharaoh coming. He knew that Israel was going to suffer more. He saw the handwriting on the wall. He made the great decision. He walked away. And sometimes you need to walk away. Sometimes you need to really sit down and look at your boyfriend or your girlfriend, and you need to ask the tough questions. Is this guy going to take me to church? Is this guy going to lead me to Christ? Is this guy going to be faithful in my life? Those are the decisions you have to make. You cannot think with feelings. You need to think with faith. Faith makes great decisions. And when you live by feelings, you're going to make bad decisions, because decisions are based upon character. And the value of your life is based upon the faith that you have in God. And when you have faith in God, you have great values. When you have great values, you make great decisions. When you make great decisions, you have great character in your life. And character will carry you through life. You lose character, your life is shot. No one can touch your reputation. Everyone can talk about it, but you are the only one that can destroy your character. And it's because of a bad choice. It's because you went with your feelings. I need, I have to have. Moses said, I've made a decision. No. He walked away from a position. He walked away from pleasure. And then he says here, lastly, he says, by faith he refused power. It says, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had recompense of reward. So he was able to balance the two out, the suffering of Christ, and also, once again, the pleasures of the world. And he made a great decision. But the decision was based on the recompense of the reward. In other words, it means he knew the promises of God. Somewhere in his heart, his mother taught him about Israel. Somewhere in his early life, she whispered and told him what God did and how God was going to deliver them. And so it haunted him. It convicted him. And when the decision came, he made the right decision because of his upbringing in home. I believe that the decision needs to be made because of the faith that you have in God. There are certain eternal perspectives that you must make in life. If you head towards evil, it's going to destroy your character. If you head towards the cross, it's going to build your character and God's going to bless your life. If you live in sin, it's going to destroy your marriage and it's going to destroy your personal life. It's going to destroy the weakness of your heart. There's nothing that will destroy your life more than being distracted. It's the weakness of the soul. There's nothing like being focused, serving God, that God blesses your life. And so we find that he walked away from a position. He walked away from pleasure. And he walked away from the power. How in the world can you do it? Now look at our lives. We have position. It's so important in our life to be a CEO or to be in charge or be a leader or to have a say. Is it really? And it's so important to have pleasure. And it's so important to have power. And no, it's not. You can give it all up for Jesus Christ. Because you go home and your house is burnt, it's going to burn anyway. And the power, no man has authority. Every man's under authority. You never had the power, you just started thinking you did. And concerning pleasure, it's only for a season. And so it just makes sense mentally to throw everything down and say, you know, I can handle 60 years of not getting what I want and having this suffering, and maybe God will bless me in this life, or maybe God wants to work in my life, but I know one day I'm going to be shining for the glory of God. And I want to hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And then he ends by saying, not only is faith able to take action, and faith is able to make decisions, but notice in verse 27 through 29, faith stays focused. This is so cool. Number one, in verse 27, seeing the invisible. It says, "By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured seeing who is the invisible." Now the first time, he fled Egypt out of fear. He killed the Egyptian, and he thought, in the book of Acts, it says that he thought that his own brethren would understand. And isn't that cool? Egypt didn't understand why he did it. His own brothers didn't understand why he did it, and the people of Egypt. In other words, he was shocked because he thought that everybody would know that he was the guy to deliver. And this is an interesting point. He knew that he was going to be part of what God was going to do. But what he did is what we do all the time. You might know that God wants you to speak to your child. And so you go after it. But you didn't wait for God's timing. You might know that you have to make a decision. So you make it. But you didn't wait for the timing of God. We call it premature. He was premature. He buried one man when God wanted to bury the whole army. And because he didn't wait for God, and because he was premature, he was driven out of Egypt. And boy, did God have a whole life ahead of him in the wilderness. And you can't pity him because he was going to be disciplined and he was going to have devotions and God was going to make his man. And you can see him crawling by himself, stripped, naked, just with a few things on his back. And God taught him through the eagles, you remember? It says that he saw the eagles and there as they were throwing their young out of the nest, and he saw the bush and on fire, and God used everything to teach him. Probably the hornet toads and all the tumbleweeds and everything else, you know, all those crazy things. God just spoke to him. And when God speaks, it's a powerful thing. When I was in 29 Palms or Victorville, there was no one up there. And I told the story. I went and preached to turkeys because no one else would listen to me at Justice Turkey Ranch. I really did. It's pretty sad thinking about it. Drugged my wife out there. And boy, when I got to that fence and started preaching, woo-hoo, man, they came. And I say, "You're going to hell. You know, you're going to have your cutthroat. You're going to die. You're going to be baked. You need to come to Christ." You know? You can laugh about it, but man, I was practicing. Every one of them were killed, you know? What can I say? You say, "You've got to be kidding." No, I mean, I'm serious. You say, "Well, were you like on LSD? No. Well, why would you do something so dumb? Because I had a passion to preach. And if people won't listen, those turkeys are going to listen. Someone says, I've been preaching to turkeys ever since. I said, no, that's not true. But you know, crazy as it sounds, it was standing in front of those turkeys that God spoke to me. And it was through these cats that when I married my wife, I didn't know we had cats when we got married. And I was introduced to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And boy, I was thinking, how can I kill Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? And it was through those cats. One night, there was a grasshopper. And boy, Abraham smacked that grasshopper on top of the head. And then that poor grasshopper was going around and around and around and around in circles. And finally got underneath the door. And he was safe. And I'm looking at this grasshopper. And God says, pay attention. This is a story. Okay. So this grasshopper sticks his head out and bam! Abraham grabbed it and ate it and poor Christian was dead. And the Lord just said, now pick up the cat. And so I picked up the cat. He says, now you're God. That cat is Satan and that poor grasshopper is a Christian. But Stephen, I want you to know, I have the ability to destroy Satan. And Satan has the ability to destroy you. You stay under the door. You stay close to me. For the rest of your life. There were some powerful moments in the desert. And God shaped him. And God molded him. And when he came back into Egypt at 80 with absolutely no fear. He stood before Pharaoh, let my people go. 10 times he said, let my people go. He said, Pharaoh, you're going to lose your kid. I'm not messing with you. Let them go. Pharaoh said, then take them. But leave the kids. Nope, we're taking the kids with us. Take them, but leave the animals. Nope, we're taking the animals because we need to sacrifice. Well, go, but don't go too far. No, we're going all the way. He says, get out of here. If you see my face again, I'll kill you. Moses came right back and said, listen, your kid's going to die if you don't repent. And so we know the story that night. God slew the firstborn that didn't believe. And so we find that he saw the invisible, but also in verse 28, kind of cool, he saw the impossible. Through faith he kept the Passover, the sprinkling of the blood, lest he be destroyed, the firstborn. And this is the first Passover. In other words, Moses was obedient, never had one before. How to cook everything and how to do everything and how to sacrifice everything. But he saw something very impossible that night the death angel passed over because of the blood. But then we see in verse 29, the incredible. By faith they passed through the Red Sea, as by the dry land, which the Egyptians were destroyed. And we know the story. He stood before the Red Sea, and it was blocked. He turned around, and the Egyptians were coming, and the Bible says he lifted his eyes, and he didn't know what to do. He couldn't go anywhere. God led him into a trap because God wanted to show him who he was. And that night, God with his nostril opened the Red Sea, and by faith they crossed over. In chapter 15 of Exodus, they saw the Egyptians washed up on the shore, and Miriam broke out in song because he was able to see. And I want to share with you that when you make a decision, when you make a conscious decision in your mind, in your soul, that this Christianity is a real thing, and you believe in heaven and hell, and you say to God, you're more important, and by faith, I will reject and refuse this world, because you're the only one I want, then I guarantee you, that God will open your eyes to the invisible. And you will see God. Nehemiah saw God through the rubbish. David was able to see God through his pain. And you will see the incredible. You'll see God deliver you in ways you've never seen before. He'll pass over you because of his mercy. And then you're going to see the impossible. You're going to see God open things that no one else could do. He'll put things together. So when I speak about Moses in my life, It's the faith to make a decision. A decision for the rest of your life. Father, we ask tonight that, Lord, as we serve You, as we love You tonight,